Hello everyone, I hope you are keeping well. Welcome to another episode of the Middle Age Gaming Podcast, the number one show where we talk about games, gaming philosophy, predictions, and pretty much everything under the sun. Your hosts are Adam, Crean, Antoine, and Phil. Pretty much whoever can be there for the show because, as you know, Middle Age gamers are busy. We have family, commitments, work, and so many other things. Enough said, let's get on with the show. Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to another Middle Age Gaming Podcast. We have four people today. Please welcome Eric Alvarado, and I hope I did not butcher his name. He is going to be with us whenever he can, which is still a wonderful addition, right? More people, more voices, more opinions, more games for you guys to understand. What is Eric playing? What's his personality like? Does he match me? Is he going to be my new favorite Middle Age gamer? That's always wonderful, right? Because when you get joint podcasts like the sort of, I'm blanking on that name of that podcast, but like Giant Bomb and other podcasts like that, where everyone has a different personality, plays a different game, you sort of have a favorite person. So I'm not going to ramble on too much on today. We've got four people, so we have lots of stuff to talk about. And as usual, we are going to start off with Antoine. He's going to fill us in on what's been happening this week in his gaming.
Not much surprise as usual. I spent my week trying to discover as much of Sniper Elite 5 as I could. And I think I pretty much done with the game at this time. Again, as I said, it's the mechanics. If you played Sniper Elite for you, there's not much change compared to before. And if you never played, it's very much like Hitman, but it may be less polished. But if you play Hitman, you very much know what. What I did this week in this was trying to accomplish the kill challenge, because there's 9, maybe 10 missions if you add the DLC. And each of them, you have a specific target to kill with a specific method to kill him. And this will unlock a different weapon that you usually won't use anyway. But it's just to say that you did it. So yeah, I did this all week. And I think starting now, I will just restart my Tales of Arise and play the second part of the game.
So you finished the Sniper Elite 5?
Oh yeah.
Oh.
There's just 9 missions. It's 2 hours per mission. That's fast.
Oh, damn.
When you don't sleep, that's fast.
Unless you're completionist, like he said.
No. Or, Antoine, since you're done, then you've got to give us like an arbitrary rating, whatever it is you want to call it, just to give people an indication.
I'll give 13 or 14. Yeah, out of 20. I'm gracious. I'll give a 40.
14. Okay, so for people who haven't bought it yet, buy now, wait for a sale, or not worth it?
Wait for a sale or just go to Xbox Live or special promotion, $1 per month for 3 months, and you have Sniper Elite for a month for $1.
Nice. That could be good value for people.
Thank you, Microsoft.
Okay, very cool. Wow, one of us has done Sniper Elite 5. I have not played, of course. Okay, then we're on to me. I totally forgot I'm number 2. Diablo Immortal came out last week. I was super excited. I'm like, okay, I don't plan to play it, but I'm like, okay, let me install it on the iPad because my iPad has been set to America for the longest time because the Americans always get the best stuff. No pun intended there. And so it was interesting, very cool. There's a pain to download because it's a very, like what a lot of mobile games have done these days. It was a very small download. And then you have to like manually download each of the areas and packs and stuff. And it's definitely sound like Blizzard has put a lot of effort into it because they've got settings for like low, medium, high. So it can run on like an old cell phone. Like we're talking about like a Snapdragon before 765, right? 665, like old style 4-core processors on your phone. It's that old. It reminds me of there was an old AARPG game that was very Diablo-ish, like Avedon or Avalon or something like that when it looks low. So I have the first iPad Pro from 2016, top of 9-inch. So I think it's like an A13 processor. And I ran it on medium. And even when we were fighting these giant bosses, it was pretty fine. Overall, conclusion is, this is totally fine for a middle-aged gamer, as long as you're not playing this hardcore. Like we were chatting online, which is the app that we use out here in Asia. And like Phil was like, yeah, we should play this in multiplayer. And Phil definitely has that personality to play games for a longer period of time. I think if you did that, you'd get up into the wall where Adam pointed out this week, I guess he had seen, Antoine pointed out that the very famous YouTuber Asmon had said you needed $110,000 to get everything you needed in this game. I saw another headline this morning. A guy spent $4,000 already, and he could not get a legendary gem for items, and you need legendary gems to get the highest level gear, to do the highest level content. So I've not uninstalled it. I think it's a beautiful game. Like the assets, the art, the story, the voice acting is really impressive. And 7-year-old speakers on my iPad Pro, but the sound has this really good depth, and the actors, it's recorded very well. As people like us, we do podcasts and we know what good audio sounds like. It's very impressive. So I'm going to keep it and I'll play it. If something happened to my Switch or my computer, I'd play Diablo Immortal on my iPad. Otherwise, since I played it last week, I have not picked it up, and I don't plan to pick it up until I want to play something like that or I'm in the mood for that. But something for you, probably keep on your phone if you're on a long subway ride, or if your wife's driving in a long car ride, or you're going somewhere like I want to play something action, it's a fantastic choice. Don't get me wrong. Definitely worth it. You can play it, get through a lot of this stuff, and you get to a point where, okay, I'm not spending money. Uninstall it and you're done. So cool. But definitely something. And it's free. I believe someone, I think Adam said it right, that it's, maybe somebody said it. Diablo Immortal is coming to non-American countries at the end of June. So I believe it's June 23rd. I don't know if it was Adam or not, but somebody said it. It wasn't Adam. Okay. So yeah, that is Diablo Immortal. I played a bunch of stuff, but we can talk about that at another time. So Adam, what about you? I saw you playing Horizon Zero
Forbidden West again. Yeah, they released a patch. I got a question though, real quick. So have you tried Diablo Immortal on BlueStacks yet?
I wouldn't, because the settings would be the same.
Oh, okay.
On the PC, there's a lot more settings than what I expect. So like they have Bloom effects and they have FXAA, and they have a bunch of effects I didn't expect, but it's still very much a mobile game. They did fix that whole UI size. So I did see that on PC streams. It's, yeah, Diablo Immortal.
Do they have cross?
Yeah, so if you're on your computer and you want to play and go sit with the wife in the living room, you can switch to your phone or switch to your iPad. Yeah.
Okay, so there's no point in getting it on BlueStacks. Just get the PC version.
Yeah, just get the PC version. Yeah, they've obviously put time into it. Like I saw the picture of the Diablo Immortal team. It looked like a good 60, 70 people for a mobile game. So they've definitely put in time into this game. I feel sorry because there's going to be a lot of negative reaction to this with the whole NFT gaming stuff and mobile gaming stuff still being pretty bad. So it's all those people who worked in it are going to have a tough
time. Do you think it's going to push back the Diablo 4 release date, depending on the success of Diablo Immortal?
I think as soon as Bobby Kotick gets out of Activision Blizzard, then there won't be a pushback. But I know I think it'll be fine because they've obviously decided to segment it to say, okay, this is mobile, this is not mobile. I think this is going to affect Arclight Rumble, which is that other sort of game that's coming out from Blizzard that's the sort of Clash of Clans, Clash Royale lookalike that Blizzard's trying to do. I think that's going to affect the monetization. I think there's a very small chance they'll change it, but we'll just have to see. Yeah, Horizon Forbidden West.
So Horizon Forbidden West, they released I guess you call it a patch, an update. And so they finally added New Game Plus. They've patched out a lot of things that were obviously troublesome the first time you played around. They added in a new difficulty, Ultra Hard. And they added in a few new things that you can unlock only in New Game Plus, which are, I don't remember how many weapons there are, maybe 8 or 9. And then they also have some new face paints, and they also have some new dyes for your armor. So they added one dye for each, what do you call them, tribe. So if you're wearing Nora armor, there's one dye for Nora armor. There's one dye for Karja armor, that sort of thing. So I've been playing through that again. I'm just focusing only on the story to get through as quickly as possible, at least on stream. Off stream, I'm going to do all the side stuff, because the way you can unlock the new things is similar to what they did in Ghost of Tsushima. In that, in Ghost of Tsushima, when you played New Game Plus, every time you completed a mission, you would get ghost flowers, and then you could use ghost flowers to buy new things that were added in New Game Plus. And in this one, every time you beat any kind of mission or do any kind of side content, like unlock a tall neck, you'll get, I think they call them champion tokens, and then you can turn in your champion tokens for this new gear. So I'm just playing around with that, and it's going way faster than it did the first time. And it's funny because even though this is, when I first played, I played on the highest difficulty, which I guess was hard. And then now I'm playing on ultra hard, which is an even harder difficulty, but it's so much easier this time because I'm all geared up. So because I have all my max gear from the previous save, it's actually easier than it was the first time I played through. So if you're worried about, oh, it's going to be too hard, don't worry about that. It's going to be fine. The only thing is it does take longer to take down some of these larger machines because they do have quite a bit of life. So you might be in a fight for longer, but you're not going to be... It's not going to be significantly more difficult because they're just doing a little bit more damage. They take a little bit more damage, but they're not more aggressive or anything like that. So on... Because I never really timed myself. If you're playing on... Okay, so if I was taking down, say, a Tremor Tusk on hard, I could probably take it down in maybe 3 to 5 minutes. And now it's probably taking me 8 to 10. Yeah, so they just have more life, basically.
And in terms of replayability, if you already finished the game once, does a new game plus really incite you to replay? Like, I'm thinking of myself right now. I'm not really a completionist right now on Forbidden West. Would you recommend me to restart, to do the new game plus? Or is it really interesting if you're not after the trophy?
So if you really enjoy the gameplay and you had a lot of fun with it, then yeah. But if you're the kind of person where I feel done with it, you're not going to get anything new out of it except for unlocking some new weapons and stuff. So it really depends on how much you enjoy the gameplay itself. Oh, so yeah. I love the gameplay. So for me, it's fun. And it's going a lot faster this time because I'm skipping all the side content. And I'm just like, okay, I know exactly where to go. I don't feel obligated to check out every little question mark on the map. I can feel fine to ignore those because I already have those on a different save. So it's definitely more casual and faster. So yeah, it's entirely dependent on how much you enjoy gameplay.
All right, thanks.
Okay, Eric, you're up, man. First,
I've been playing Genshin Impact, mostly version 2.7 just came out last week on May 31st. Additional content, new character, Yelan or Yelan. I'm not sure exactly how it's spelled, but no, that's pretty much the game that I've been playing. And it's very repetitive, Genshin Impact, when there's no updates. So it's mostly getting some artifact sets and the... And yeah, so I was really excited about the version update that came out. And I'm trying to get that new Yelan character in my rooster and then starting to play with her. But that was pretty much it in regards to PC. In regards to mobile, I've been playing Evoni. So it's... Have you guys know Evoni, I guess? Maybe no?
I think I know from the fact that BlueStack offer Evoni.
So the advertisement gets you, right? Because I got caught by the advertisement that you see on the internet because it looks like a simple... those keys that you pull to try and get the treasure. And when I clicked on it, it's actually a strategy game, a gacha strategy game that you have to buy gems, you have to actually pay a lot of money to be able to survive into that strategy war game. So yeah, those are pretty much the two games I've been playing lately, and I just can't wait for Tower of Fantasy to come out to get a little bit of change compared to the Genshin Impact.
What is Tower of Fantasy?
So Tower of Fantasy is a similar game like Genshin Impact, another gacha system to get your characters, but it's supposed to be as free to play as Genshin, so you don't need to spend any money whatsoever to move forward in the game. But it seems to be a lot more smoother. It's actually, so Genshin Impact is by miHoYo, and the Tower of Fantasy is by Tencent. So it's going to be pretty competitive. It's very similar, but it looks to be a lot more dynamic. Seems to be a lot of more mechanics involved in the game. And yeah, no, it looks really interesting. It's a beta was available for people to play back in May, but the game is only supposed to have a release date here in North America for 2022. So it isn't available as of yet.
Keep me up to date. I really want to try that because I like Genshin Impact up to a certain point where I found it a bit boring, as you said, repetitive. I like this kind of... It's pretty and it's very nice. And I really like the Zelda Breath of the Wild kind of vibe. Yeah, we're on try. And if it's multiplayer, we can go on the same server and stream that at some point.
Yeah, no, definitely. And what I really like about Genshin Impact, it's the music in that game is just phenomenal. It brings you right in. If you're playing with a headset and everything, you really feel like you're part of the game. And like you said...
The only issue is that you can't filter the voice of Paimon.
That's if you play in English.
I do play in English.
Yeah, I know. I get you. That's why I play with the Korean language because the English. She does a great job, don't get me wrong, but I think the original language is much better than the English version.
Wouldn't the original be Chinese?
Yeah, no, you're right. Sorry, Adam. It's Chinese, not Korean. But there is a Korean dub. So there's, you can, I think there's 5 languages that you can choose. So
yeah, I see online people keep saying, oh yeah, you got to listen to the original Japanese, and people, it's not a Japanese game, dude.
Let me pose this question to you, especially Eric as well, is for Ta Fantasy, do you think they'll even be able to compete? Because I saw the Chinese government, they said they started allowing games to come out again in May after pausing for a significant amount of time. And then at the end of May, they said, yep, no, stop. We're not allowing any more games to come out. I think Tencent's even going to be able to release Ta Fantasy in China, where their biggest market is. I'm sure the rest of the world will be fine, but
Tencent is it's really big.
But they still have to bow down to the Chinese government, right? And they can't release a game if the government says, hey, stop.
It's China. I'm sure that there's some loopholes somewhere.
Was Tencent the one that went into
pig
farming?
They lost $10 billion in the first quarter of this year because they couldn't release any games. So there is no more giving money to the government. Very famous for clamping down on corruption.
Yeah, because even if you could give money to the government to develop the game, you still wouldn't be able to release it.
Yeah, you saw exactly. The government has said, you know, no, like there was an article yesterday in the paper about how they're educating kids starting at elementary school, and they have like prosecutors or like lawyers in school to say this is the way of Chinese society.
The thoughts
this
of is how...
Yeah, exactly. So
keep an eye on LinkedIn. I'm pretty sure that a big Tencent team is going to come into Taiwan.
I was hearing that Tencent actually published that they're focusing in their Canadian office to move forward with Tower Fantasy. And I've been hearing and my friends in the video game industry that they're aggressively hiring people from the gaming industry to actually work on the game. Now, again, you know, how they're going to release it, that's a different story. Tencent is Tencent. They might find a way.
Time for you to change from Cisco, move it to Tencent.
No, I'm good here.
All right, so it is that time of the podcast, right? We've had enough fun talking about the games we are playing or have played or will be playing. We are talking about today is the last time you guys will be hearing about, the last time for the foreseeable future, you'll be hearing about AA games or AAA games from us. Today, we are with Antoine's Choice, which is Fire Emblem Warriors Three Hopes, which is that whole Musou, I don't remember how you pronounce it anymore, but whatever the hell that's called. And as usual, Adam's going to take it away with his take on this game.
I'm surprised that Krian has never heard of this genre before, because I know that you are super huge into the power fantasy of gaming, and this is like the ultimate power fantasy genre. It's just you versus hundreds of dudes, and you're just wiping the floor with them.
But this has always been a console-centric thing, even going back to the 90s on PCs, kind of game. Okay. I mean, because that there was no this, I'm guaranteed, remember, I've never heard of this kind of game except on consoles going back to the PlayStation.
It's a very Japanese thing because the whole Musou game is actually Koei Tamco or Omega Force, which is Koei. So a Musou, I believe, is a translation. I might be wrong, but it's just for Warriors.
Yeah,
so
it was the Fire Dynasty Warriors games was something like exactly. Samurai Musou or something like that.
Correct.
But yeah, I always played the Dynasty Warriors game. I know they had the Romance of Three Kingdoms. I think it's a different franchise, but it's very similar and it covers basically the same characters. And then, yeah, they had the Samurai Warriors one. So there's been a whole bunch of them. So I don't know if this is all that innovative in terms of new kind of gameplay. But oh, wait, I have the... Why am I not showing this? There we go. So yeah, the Musou genre basically is just you versus hundreds of dudes. You're super powerful. They're super weak. You're just wiping the floor with them. They're just flying everywhere. And a lot of times the point of the game is to get your combo up as high as humanly possible. Sometimes you can get them up in the thousands. And you do that by, A, just continuously attacking, but also a lot of times you have some sort of attack that will suck them in or some kind of thing that will, like, they'll do a tornado or something and they'll pull everybody in and you just drive them all up and whatnot. So you can see right here, if you're watching the video, that she does this tornado and it sucks everyone in and she can just do that. So getting high combos is a real big part of this game and you really just want to do as much damage as possible. They're not typically very hard. They don't typically take a lot of strategy. They do typically have a lot of different combos that you can do. And like, your strategy isn't how do I survive? Your strategy is how do I get my combo and keep them consistent without breaking them, where it's there's been too long of a gap between the last time I struck a guy and this next time I struck a guy. Sometimes they have a boss battle somewhere in there, but at least in the Samurai Warrior or the Dynasty Warriors franchises, the boss battles usually aren't that great because it's just it's 1v1 and the game is not designed for 1v1. So you're just dancing around each other and just doing these attacks that are big AoEs and hoping that you damage them more than they damage you. I've never played a Fire Emblem game before, except for I think there was one on mobile, wasn't there? It was like a strategy one on mobile. Yeah, but there was one on mobile a while back. I don't remember what it was. It was before Three Houses. I played that one for a little bit, but I wasn't super impressed with it just because I'm used to games like Other Side or Final Fantasy Tactics, Disgaea or something like that. And this being on mobile, it was a very simple game. It wasn't one of the more complex ones that we're getting today. This was just a simple, it's on a grid, you move a guy on a grid, and everybody I think had one or two attacks. And so it was a little bit more chess-like in that sense, that it was simplified. So I wasn't very impressed, so I didn't play it for very long. But yeah, I don't really know the story or anything like that. I think Antoine has a better idea of what's going on story-wise.
Story-wise, every Fire Emblem is very different.
So. Oh, okay. Great. So this is not related to Three Houses then?
It's a spin-off. So you have roughly the same settings, you have the same character, but you don't need to play Three Houses to play Three Hopes.
Okay.
You have your character from three houses, and you wipe the floor with a completely idiot's army in front of you. And that's
Is there like a relationship building that you can do with your characters? Because that's one of the main things about Fire Emblem is building their relationship.
Very good question. Actually, I don't really know, but Musou is not a genre that, you know, like a Korean didn't even know about it. So people don't really know about this. For instance, because they did a very great Musou game on Berserk, but if you don't like manga, or if you don't live in Asia, it's hard to know that there's a Berserk game on Musou. If you want to have a very good Musou game that people would know, maybe, would be Zelda Hyrule Warriors. That was fantastic. And in there, you have some relationship with your fairies, kind of. Not even sure if it's real. Remember, you give them food, you give them powers, but can you give them power up with I don't think relationship are really a big part in Musou, so I don't know how they would incorporate it in the game, but it's I checked the gameplay, it's very similar to Hero Warriors in the fact that you have like 10 or 20 characters, you have the maps are roughly the same, which are very big maps with some objectives at this different point of the maps. You have some of your characters which are AI controlled, but you can give them orders, go there, try to beat this boss or capture this fort while I do this. And so you have a bit of strategy just to say that there is, as Adam said, that's not the core of the game. The core of the game is you had a long day, you're stressed out. Do a genocide. Literally, I can't even say like wipe out an army, that's not strong enough. Genocide the whole map.
Hack
and slash.
These are very this is basically the hack and slash, like the most generic hack and slash you can get. And these games are built entirely on power fantasy and just being able to like feel like you're amazing. So they're very relaxing games typically. They're not typically very hard. They're not designed to be that way.
Music could be important because good music on this while you are destroying 100 of enemies. Don't play that just before going to bed because you're going to be pumped up.
I wonder who started the hack and slash, like that type of version. It came basically at the same time as Devil May Cry, which is also like a hack and slash that you feel great. And on top of that, with the music and everything all together, I remember like when I started playing Devil May Cry for the first time, I was like, oh my God, what is this? So fast. This is faster than Sonic the Hedgehog. What's going on? And yeah. And then I started to see that like Dynasty Warriors coming up. So,
yeah.
When I was living in the States with the Devil May Cry, that was one of the games my roommate was playing, Devil May Cry and Final Fantasy, one of the Final Fantasies. But Devil May Cry was the thing, was just, oh my God, I want to get a PlayStation so badly just to play Devil May Cry because Dante with these twin guns and the hitting enemies up in air. And even though all that stuff is on PC right now, I just have never, it's never made it down up to my list of I'm going to buy this at the moment. Sorry, Adam, you were going to say.
I was just looking it up. It says Dynasty Warriors first came out in 1997. Samurai Warriors came out in 2004. So Dynasty Warriors predates it. So definitely the Dynasty Warriors games came out before Devil May Cry by a few years. But I'm not sure which would be the first hack and slash like this. I don't know if they're the first ones or if somebody else did it first.
There was an XCOM, I remember, on PC, even though after I said there's nothing like it, but you used the WSD, and it wasn't a tactical game. It was a horde fighting game. But again, horde games and this style of game are different because you played like a robot and your job was to defeat all the aliens and you're fighting huge numbers of them. And I remember at that time, I think I had, was it a 486 or some really old 90s PC? And it struggled with 20 enemies on the screen back in the day. So I don't know. I can't think of any earlier version of this. I think the earliest version I can think would be the original Dynasty Warriors.
Yeah, so here I'm looking up Hack and Slash, and it says the first official Hack and Slash game would be Prince of Persia, but that was 2D. If you're looking at 3D Hack and Slash games, then it's saying Dynasty Warriors, Ninja Gaiden, Devil May Cry, and God of War.
Is Ninja Gaiden back in the 90s as well?
These were all in the 2000s.
Okay.
Dynasty Warriors was 1997. Devil May Cry was 2004. Ninja Gaiden was 2000. I don't know.
And it's funny, right? Because yeah. Tecmo was the one that was doing the Ninja Gaiden games, and Koei was the one doing the Dynasty Warriors games. And then they became one, so now it's one company making the same type of games.
That is interesting.
That might have been why they came together. They just naturally gravitated towards each other.
Eric, what do you think about Antoine's choice for this week, Fire Emblem?
No, actually, great choice. I'm also a Fire Emblem fan. Well, I've been playing Fire Emblem since the Famicom times. But I've never really, except for the Devil May Cry hack and slash or the Dragon Quest Heroes, that was the last hack and slash, that type of game that I played. So very interesting. I'm actually, right after this podcast, I'm gonna go back
just to remind people, because it's very rare on this podcast, this game Fire Emblem, it belongs to Nintendo, so it's a Switch exclusive, and its release date is June 24th. So you can buy it right away.
Oh, I'm going to pre-order it right now.
And if it has any kind of length like Zelda Hero Wires, that means we won't see you for the rest of the year. Because Hero Wire, you can spend a thousand. It's even, you can spend more time than on this than on Skyrim. Literally. So it's just crazy the amount of hours you're going to waste on it.
Nice. What basically you guys have pretty much said most of it. Yeah, only available on Switch. Though I think, like, going back to the, what is that sort of Switch game with the dragons and stuff? Oh god, I can't remember. Anyway, I think the Switch or Nintendo have come up with like a 2-year, like, exclusivity is the wrong word because they don't mention it in any documentation, but pretty much 2 years after this comes out, we can expect like a remastered HD version on the PC if you are a PC gamer. So the only thing I'm worried about is just frame rates, because a lot of these games, though Nintendo's really good about this sort of stuff when it comes to these sort of AAA first party titles, they're not first party but second party titles, like, they're pretty good about making sure it runs optimally on your Switch. And given that we're not getting a Switch Pro until 2024 probably, and Apple had their event, and we know they announced the M2 MacBook, and the whole Apple has their now their own little equivalent of making games look really good. But even the M2 MacBook, the wait time, Antoine was saying this about where you guys work, like, you guys have a huge wait time for products on your side as well. So it's, there's going to be waiting for whatever you want to do, whatever you want to get anyway. One thing I did like as well is they have some cool amiibos for this. So I have two amiibos, but I've never used them. They just sit in their box because I'm one of those people who collects stuff and never takes them out of the box, because I don't know why. That's just my poor habit. So they've got some cool amiibos, incentives to buy the digital version as well, because of course Nintendo wants to reduce secondary sales. So I believe if you get the digital, you have some bonuses just for only the digital version. And if you have sales from, if you have saves from Three Houses as well, that will give you a bonus in the new game, which is always good. And the story seems to be good. Like you guys mentioned the story, there are three factions you can align with, just like in Three Houses. And though I've never played it, it's always, that's one of those games where we have the Nintendo secondhand games group here in Kaohsiung. And I'm always trying to find someone who wants to sell this secondhand. Seems to have a tactical depth, like in the actual description on the Nintendo Switch site, they mention that There's another game that does this. Issue commands to your army during the chaos of battle to achieve missions and objectives. Swap between characters on the fly to maximize your battle strategies, whatever the hell that means. But there is it's not just smashing and bashing, which is cool. So they've made a very broad, appealing. So that is very interesting. So we have to talk about the usual question I ask you guys. Eric's already answered this question. He said he's going to pre-order it immediately after the podcast. Antoine and Adam, what is your feeling?
Antoine, you want to go first?
Sure. It's a Switch exclusive, so it's going to be expensive. So it's going to be a pass. I love Musou. It's very fun. But it's not my favorite genre overall. So I would rather buy an old Musou at cheaper price on Steam or something like this. Or if there's a Nintendo sale on the Berserk one, for instance, and I'll buy this one when it's on sale in 2 or 3 years. It's not the kind of game I would buy at full price, right?
What do you think, Mr. Gray?
I don't have a Switch. I'm going to have to pass. If I had a Switch, though, then I would still probably pass on a while, just because when I was younger, I really liked the Musou games. I really enjoyed that, the power fantasy. But as I've grown older, I've found that I typically enjoy more games that have more of the individual kind of give and take combat. Something more akin to Ghost of Tsushima, where there's like the blocking and there's more of a back and forth to it. It's not just straight into the enemy. There's a more nuanced combo system or counter system. And these games typically don't have a counter system. I would probably pick up something else that had more of that style of combat. So I haven't played one of these games since early college.
For me, while Adam made a good point, I have gravitated towards these games, but at like this point now, I'll be 40 this year, I'm really any difficulty in games. If I do a boss battle and I die the first time, I'm just very tempted to say stop. No, don't waste my time. So as much as Antoine said, oh, this is probably not going to be that hard, I imagine
it's not. It's really not. It's really to cool down after a hard day of work. You go into the mass and you shoot, and there's one or two buttons, and that's it.
It's like Demon's Souls. You know, that's a game that you throw in the garbage because it stole literally 10 years of your life, right? But
no, but I'm saying is like we all are on the same age. Going back 20 years ago, there was that you could trust difficulty, but I feel like everybody. You guys can give me your opinions on this. I feel like every game, if it's not like a Demon's Souls, Dark Souls-esque game, has like a tapered difficulty spike where it goes up and down and up and down. So there are these spikes in every game, I believe, because that is what people want. People want that sort of build up and the climax. Yes, I defeated the boss. Wonderful. And it's this point that I disagree with, because I don't care if a game's like, I don't care for difficulty spikes. I want it to be easy. I want to roll over stuff in perpetuity, but of course people are like, this sucks, this is too easy, I want to die. I don't know.
Okay, 2 points here. First point, Adam wouldn't play it because it's too easy. He wants something a bit more tailored to his taste. And you want a bit more challenge, right?
I want it to be a bit more dynamic.
Yeah. And the second point is, if it's like Hero Warriors, the only difficulty is in the challenge. You can do some difficult challenge, but if you don't want to, you don't care. There's no story. Either you do it or you don't. You choose your missions.
You said, right, there are boss fights, right?
There sometimes are, but the boss fights are you just fighting another character that's basically just another you.
Boss fight is just a bigger soldier with more PE.
Boss fights are not the focus. They are not designed for boss fights because most of your attacks are these big AoE attacks that coalesce everybody into one big group and then explode them outward. So if you were fighting a boss and it's just one guy, your attacks aren't designed for that. So these games aren't designed for boss fights. So typically they don't have too many of them.
But Fire Emblem is a great choice for this type of game because there's so many characters.
Absolutely.
There could be 100 bosses because there's like thousands of characters. It's interesting. I'm definitely gonna try it.
Yeah, but you stay on the set of 3 houses. So you won't have the legacy. You won't have Mars, or you won't have the guys which appear on Smash Bros. Except if they do DLC. Maybe they will DLC. That would be nice, but otherwise, that should stay on 3 houses.
I think it's also worth noting that if you've been watching the video on the live show, I took 4 different trailers and put them all together. So there's the announcement trailer, and then there's one trailer for each of the 3 houses. And it has not, in none of these trailers, does it show a boss fight. There's not a single boss fight anywhere in any of these trailers. So I don't think boss fights are... They're either not a thing or they're not a big thing. So yeah, these are not designed for that. These are really, like Antoine said, these are designed for It's the end of the day. You want to relax. You want to feel good about yourself. So you just want to decimate an army and feel like you're amazing. And that's what these games are designed to be and do.
And put some rock or metal behind them.
All right. So for me, I'd rather not risk $60 for this sort of, especially for a new genre that I've never played before, where I as much as you guys have convinced me in a sense, this will be buy on a sale for me. So buy the digital version or buy it on secondhand for somebody, like that would be like $40 here in Taiwan, and keep an eye out for it if I am looking to try something different. Like I just bought Children of Morta the other day, so I'm looking forward to giving that a try. And that's a roguelike, right? You die all the time, but I have found myself enjoying that kind of sort of stuff. All right, quick news for you guys, and you guys can tell me what you think. Since we did mention this, China did pass, allow 60 games to be released in May. Tencent did not get a pass. So they were not allowed to release any games in China in May, as reported by Reuters 12 hours. So I don't know what you guys think about that. I think it follows more along in the line of Xi Jinping saying he doesn't want these powerful companies to have so much power anymore, which is why in China they said Tencent, you're going down.
I know, right? A lot of these companies, apparently this is a thing in China where if a company where companies have this habit of completely shifting their just everything because these kind of things happen all the time. I think there was I don't know if it was Tencent or some other company, but I remember when the gaming, kind of thing where they said we weren't going to be allowed to make games anymore. A lot of the companies were switching over to become pig farm. They were buying up pig farms and raising pigs now. So it's a way to keep the company alive. So they have this habit of doing that, which sounds really strange, but it's either that or you go bankrupt and your company shuts down. So instead they just completely shift their industry, which is strange. But yeah, gaming in China is kind of in a weird place right now because originally it was with movies where it was only domestic stuff. But yeah, now they're even shutting down, saying like making domestic things. And I think they still have that rule that kids can only play 2 hours a day, Saturday and Sunday only or something like that. Yeah. So you can't even play during the week. And they're switching out English classes for, what was it? Thoughts of Xi, I think is the name of the class that they're implementing. And yeah, it's not to be political, but when you're basically trying to discourage people from learning other languages because you don't want them to be able to absorb information from outside your country, I don't know. I have opinions on that I'll try not to express. But as in terms of gaming, yeah, I think it's really hard to be a gamer over there right now. Kids are limited to it. And I think they're trying to, in a way, I think it's going to backfire because I think the idea is if kids grow up without gaming, it's not going to become a hobby for them. It's not going to become a habit. And so it's they don't have to worry about it when they get older. But I think it always backfires where it's kids in college. Like in the States, people can't drink till they're 21. You can't drink till you're 21. So kids go off to college and you're 21 years old. Yay, let's go out and celebrate by getting like piss drunk and vomiting like on the sidewalk because we have no concept of how to control our alcohol consumption. Where you go to other countries where it's not so taboo and people are like, okay, beer, whatever, who cares? So I think you're going to have that kind of opposite problem along with right now they have the lay down flat movement. So I think that in the long run it's going to backfire on them and they're going to get a bunch of people who just once they get old enough they're just not going to want to do anything but game.
Antoine, Eric, what do you think?
Well, economically speaking, it's a big part of the economy. It's not a major part, but it's still interesting. And China is not having a massive growth as they had in the past 10 years because of COVID and everything, and no tourism in the past 3 years at all. That's weird for them to completely shut off a piece of the economy. Not even talking about kids not being able to play or anything. It's just like they say, this sector which employs X amount of people, thousands, tens of thousands, maybe more, Tencent again, is very massive, unemployed. And this is just gonna, I don't know, it's weird just to kill like this a piece of your economy for I don't see which reason, political reason, but I don't even see why. For now, it's not something I understand.
I think the idea here is that the reason they don't want to allow all these games is because games are another medium for information, same as books, same as movies. And But games are in some ways harder to regulate because they're a longer time investment. So like a movie, you can have a guy watch a movie in 2 hours and say, okay, this agrees with the thoughts of the state, or this goes counter to what we believe. And that's not a problem. But I look at, what was it, Devotion, that game? And it was loved in China for a while. And then somebody found this one poster on the wall, and then the game got completely taken down off Steam and all these other things. So I think in games, it's a lot easier to hide things. And so from a government perspective, if you don't want people seeing certain things, it's a lot more effort to go through and make sure everything's properly censored and whatnot. But also too, I think because a lot of games are built off of some sort of conflict. It doesn't necessarily have to be a conflict of war or something like that, but there's usually some, like even in Tetris, right? The conflict is, can I get these things fit into the right place? There's always something like that. But I think the idea is that they want to be able to control what people are seeing and therefore control how they think. And games are a way that are much more difficult to control because they're longer. People are far more invested in them. And also, I think there's a slight element of, look at the console wars. Look at how passionate people get between Xbox, PlayStation, Nintendo. People have a lot of loyalty to their games, the same as religion and political parties. And religion is another thing that they don't really want over there. So I think that there's another way of limiting what you can be loyal to.
Yeah, no, it's a very good question, Crying. I don't know. Coming from a world where, you know, where we've been playing video games since the Atari or the Intellivision or the Coleco, gaming was just part of our life day to day. And so it's hard to see the government being so rough in policies in regards to video games, especially like Antoine said, the video game industry is pretty big in China. And Tencent being, they don't just own video games. They're investing in Xiaomi's, their cell phone, their video game cell phone. They want to do like a video game streaming company as well. They're investing so much money. I really don't understand why to go to that point, especially with the COVID, zero COVID, or the policy that,
yeah, zero, you know, COVID policy
that is still in effect. Or so, no, I'm shocked. I'm surprised.
Very cool. And with that, we will end off today's show. Guys, please have a lookout for next week, where we're going to be talking about a Kickstarter darling, or maybe not a darling, but something on Kickstarter next week. And I'll have the guys choose something as well, so we can give you an idea of what to expect in the next, sort of should be 4 weeks for four of us, what we're going to be talking about, what's exciting, because I love Kickstarter stuff. I check Kickstarter religiously, like a few times a week, for stuff to back, because I'm crazy that way. But yeah, lots of stuff happening this week. Don't forget to watch Adam streaming as well. Adam, you're going to be streaming still more Forbidden West, I imagine?
Yeah, probably. Because I would typically play a big game, and then I play kind of a palate cleanser. This time, Forbidden West, since I've already played it, I'm just going through real quick, and I'm just doing the story, so I'll probably just finish that out and pick something bigger.
And then you guys should be able to check out Phil as well. Phil is playing the Warhammer strategy game. Maybe Antoine remembers the name of that, or Eric remembers. Total War. Yeah, it's Total Warhammer 3. So he's on.
Oh, is he?
Yeah. If you look on our YouTube account, you can see he's playing Total Warhammer.
Is he streaming, or?
I would assume so, because I did see a video there. I didn't look at it in too much detail, but yes. Please don't forget to check out our TikTok, check out our YouTube, subscribe, because we get to see the number of people who are subscribed across different platforms. Please also follow us on social media. You can follow Adam, you can follow myself. Eric, are you on Twitter or any social media you want people to follow you on?
Not yet. Actually, I just started my Twitch channel. So.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
What's your Twitch channel?
It's Twitch Darkblaze.
Twitch Darkblaze.
Yeah. So
cool. So follow Eric on Twitch as well. You're right. What do you play? What are you streaming there? Or when are you?
Actually, I'm going to start maybe focusing on VR gaming. I have a Cat VR. I don't know if you know about the Cat VR platform.
No, sorry.
Yeah, no. Yeah, I can't really show it here. Or maybe I can. Let me see if I can just. Can I? Can you see?
Well, that's cool.
All right.
So it's like a treadmill. It's a treadmill.
Ah, yeah. I've seen that.
So I have the treadmill, the VR full set. So I'm going to see how I can run in video games like Counter-Strike and stuff like that and see how much time I can play and try to do some cardio at the same time.
Yes. That is the gamer's dream, right? I'd love to be able to do that. All right, that is it. And then we will see everyone next week. I hope you enjoyed today's podcast. Follow us and yeah, we'll talk to you guys later.
All right, see ya. Have a good week.
Bye. That's all we have time for, folks. Please don't forget to follow, like, subscribe, and share on social media. We are trying to build the best possible community out there. We want to create a home for people just like you. You can find Middle Age Gaming on YouTube, Twitter, Discord, Gmail, and Instagram. Thanks for listening, and don't forget to tune in to Adam and Phil's stream to have a chat with them. See you later!